What was your name again? It's a process. We'll journey together. I'm really happy to be here. As you know, I'm from Perth Amboy, New Jersey, originally born and raised here, Jersey boy, in my blood. And so I'm excited that we're going to be partnering together in ministry, not just as a pastor and church family, but as a team looking to further God's kingdom here on earth. So I'm really excited for what's to come. I'm happy because my family is here visiting. They came to support my parents, Frank and Maria, my sister Sarah, my twin sister Sarah, her boyfriend Abel, and my sister Bianca and her husband Vishal. Thank you guys for coming. So I know some say they may recognize me. I know some right here from Camp Winnipeg days. But as I said, we'll be getting to know each other later on as we progress through the Sabbath. Are we ready for presentation? Yes. So we'll have the PowerPoint on the screen. Let's pray before we dive into the Word. Father God, we'd like to thank you so much for your Word. We'd like to thank you because your Word gives life, gives hope, understanding. And Father, you promise that your Word is not going to return to you empty. So Lord, we pray that this morning, this Sabbath, we can be moved in such a way that we can be drawn closer to Jesus. That's our prayer. Pray in his holy name. Amen. There's a story of a young man. Thank you. There is a story of a young boy who is spending the day with his grandfather. And as you know, our generation loves technology. This young man, this young boy, is on his cell phone practically the entire time he's spending with his grandfather. His grandfather, stressed and annoyed because he wants to have some time with his son, meaningful moments with his grandson, decides to teach him a lesson about using his cell phone too much. So he takes him out for a walk into the woods near the house. And so his son scrolling through Instagram and Facebook, and the grandson scrolling through social media, they get to the woods, and he points to a weed. He says, "Hey, grandson, pull the weed out from the ground." And so the grandson, with one hand, reaches down and pulls the weed out of the ground, root and all. And he says, all right, you got that one. Next up, he sees a bush. Now, he says, "Grandson, go to this bush and do what you did to the weed, to this bush." And so he goes to the bush, and he grabs the bush, and he starts tugging with one hand. But he realizes this might need a little bit more effort. He puts his cell phone into his pocket and wraps both arms around the bush and tugs, and boom, the bush comes out of the ground. Noticing that his grandson is sweating, clearly tired from the struggle with the bush, he says, "All right, you got the bush out. That's cool. You see that tree there? Do the same." And he goes to the tree, and grandson wraps his arms around the trunk of the tree. He couldn't even get them all around, and he starts shaking and moving with all his might, but this tree didn't move. This tree wouldn't budge. The grandfather, he looks at his son, grandson, and he says, "This is what happens when we let bad habits take root into our lives. The same struggle you have with moving the tree is the same struggle you have with removing strongholds into our lives." Someone said that the chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. The chains of habit are too strong to be felt until it's time that they be broken, but then it's too late. You see, habits, everyone has habits that they have. Perhaps this morning you woke up and instinctively, second nature, you went to the bathroom to brush your teeth, right? At least we hope so, right? We are creatures of habit. We are creatures of repetition. James K. Smith, in his book, You Are What You Love, he explores this idea of habits and how they are formed and why they are formed. And in his book, he comes to the conclusion that we are people of repetition. We are people that have this natural inclination towards doing what we've already done in the past. You are what you spend most of your time beholding. You are what you love. But here's the catch. Here's the challenge. You might not love what you think. You might not love what you think. What are you spending most of your time dedicating to? That's the conclusion Smith comes to. You might not love what you think. And so habits are generally formed in two ways. Right? Before we get into breaking out of habits that could be destructive in our lives, destructive in our relationships, perhaps destructive in our church business, hello? We must understand why and how habits are formed. American poet and rapper Kendrick Lamar, he explores this idea of habit in his song, DNA. He says, I got. I'm not going to rap it for you. But he says, I got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, that font is a little small. Power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. Notice the elements inside of Kendrick's own character. He's saying he has war, but he also has peace. He has joy, royalty, loyalty, but he's also struggling with poison and power and cocaine. This is the tension of Christianity. This is the tension of being a follower of Jesus. Having both the capacity to do good and evil. And so Paul puts it this way. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate to do, I do. You see, Paul is in the same mentality as Kendrick Lamar. I have something inside of my DNA that though it may appear that I want to do good, I want to live right, I want to be free, somehow, in some way, at the same time, I struggle. I fall. I do what I don't want to do. And so, Scripture is just saturated with this idea. David, he puts it this way, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And so habits are formed primarily because of human nature, who we are. They're formed, yes, from exposure, right? From media, from what we behold, from what our friends tell us. Perhaps they are given to us, however, primarily through parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Human nature. Kendrick Lamar explores this idea throughout his whole album. How can I break free? Ultimately, that's the question of the ages. John Legend, in his song In the Blood, he explores this idea of being like his mother, right? Being like his father, being like his brothers. He has this anxiety that somehow he's not going to break out of the generational curses handed to him. You see, scripture gives this idea of generational curses. Your father, right, will pass down and his character to the son. Mother to the daughter and to the son. So inside 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, you trace the lineage and the habits of the kings of Israel and Judah, and you will find King so-and-so did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father did in his days. Perhaps you are struggling with something this very morning because your dad or your mom struggled with that very same thing. Perhaps a great-grandfather was an alcoholic, and so your inclination, your desire to just get a little tipsy, traces back to a generational curse that you didn't even know existed. And so John Mayer, in this pursuit of freedom, he asks the age-old question. Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? This is the question. This is the pursuit of freedom, of breaking through strongholds. And I believe that scripture is just saturated with ideas and stories and principles of how to break free from addiction, how to break free from destructive patterns and habits in our lives. But this morning, I just want to share with you three things. How many things? Three things. Good, you're awake. Three things on how to experience freedom. Freedom from habit, freedom from chains, freedom from vices. Here we go. Before we go there, this is Paul again. I just want, you got to see this. You got to see this. He says in Romans 7, 21 to 23, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what? What is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me. Ah, his DNA, his human nature. The generational curse. But there's another power within me that it is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Will it wash out in the water? Or is it always in the blood? So here we go, the three things. If you are desiring, if you are pursuing freedom in your life, freedom from in your family, freedom in your household, how you relate relationally to others, here it is, three scriptural principles on how to experience freedom. Number one, be responsible. The Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 4, for from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. From our very hearts, our very souls come these things. So if you are seeking for freedom, seeking for breakthrough. Be responsible for what comes out of your heart. The Bible tells us that the very first thing that David does when he approaches God, in that moment after falling into sin, the Bible says in Psalms 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my sins. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my transgression." This is not David pointing the finger. So-and-so led me to this place. So-and-so influenced me. So-and-so took me here. No, David, acknowledging who he was on the inside, approaches God and says, "I am responsible for what has happened." So if you're seeking breakthrough from strongholds, breakthrough from vices, from habits that have you tied down, the first step is to be responsible for your heart. Because at the end of the day, it's your heart. It's nobody else's. It's yours. Breakthrough happens when we approach God and say, "I am responsible." But that's not just all. I believe we must watch the transfers. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. The wise man is saying, protect what's in here. Don't let just anything come inside. You see, there are some principles in doing exercise and working out, right? Anyone here goes to the gym often? Raise your hand if you go to the gym, right? You like to go to the gym. You want to go to the gym, perhaps, right? Yeah. So there's a struggle that people have, right? They go to the gym, they work out, but after they're done, they go eat some donuts. You know? Some sweet. I deserve it. I just did sit-ups and push-ups. I deserve something sweet, right? There's a saying, it says, you can't out-train a bad diet. You can't out-train a bad diet. You can't expect to get that six-pack if you're eating pizza all day, right? It's just not going to happen. Therefore, you must be mindful of what you let into your digestive system. And so if you're seeking, in the same manner, if you're seeking breakthrough, if you are seeking freedom, if you are seeking to break out of those chains, to break out of destructive habits, you must be mindful of what you let into your heart. Watch the transfers. Watch the transfers. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4:8. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Watch the intake. And finally, I believe that breakthrough occurs not just through responsibility, not just through watching the transfers of our heart, but breakthrough happens with surrender. You see, David, in that moment after he fell, in that very same Psalm 51, he says to God, "Create in me a new heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, we're so used to upgrades, right? We want something new. We want the new iOS, so we get the upgrade, right? Your phone alerts you, right, when it's time. Your phone or your laptop will send a notification to you when it's time to have a new operating system. And so it's so easy that you just click and you can go do something else for the 15 to 20 minutes that it's taking you. Unless you have Microsoft, it'll take you about an hour or two. But creating in me a new heart here is something that is totally different than we're accustomed to. This is not an upgrade. This is not what we think it is. You see, this text has two implications. One, it has an implication of authorship. And two, it has an implication of content. So number one, create in me, right? The Hebrew word that is utilized here in this text, create, is a word that is called in Hebrew, bara. Bara, say it. Just say it with me. Bara. Bara means to create. But throughout all of the Old Testament, the only time you see this word, this verb being utilized is when God is the one that's doing the creating. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's in the beginning, God bara. Authorship. He has a copyright on this verb. Only God is allowed to create in this manner. But this is not just surrender to the author. This is creating differently than how in the past creation happens. You see, it's not just authorship, but also content. This word is different from all the other words that you might find that are also translated to create. You see, other words, other verbs imply that there are materials that already exist that are being brought together to make something new, right? There's fashioning together, there's molding, there's making, but this verb is so different because it implies creation out of nothing. Nothing needs to exist for this creation to become a reality. This is God looking at your and mine, my dirty, rotten heart, and saying, I'm not going to upgrade it. I'm going to make something new. And so habits are broken out of being responsible for our hearts, acknowledging that we have some unhealthy patterns, some unhealthy habits. Surrender, breakthrough happens when we watch the transfers, when our intake, right, matches what we hope is going to happen, right? You're not eating spiritual donuts and experiencing anticipating freedom, right? You are making sure that what you behold, what is coming into your heart and into your life, is going to be conducive to freedom. And finally, surrender. Surrender happens when we say to God, Lord, create in me that creation that you can only do. This is not of us. This is not of my own doing. Only you can make this heart pure and clean. Only you can make this life free. So if that's your desire this afternoon, I ask that you pray with me. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word because in it we find inspiration and tools to live a better life. Father, here we are in our brokenness, in our dirtiness. Some of us have had and carried habits that are destructive, that hurt ourselves and others for a long time. And Father, we pray and desire freedom. So Lord, we pray that through your word, through the working of your Holy Spirit, that you can create in us a new heart that desires after beauty and goodness. Lord, we pray that we can be responsible for what we do, that we can observe and be mindful of what we let into our hearts, Lord. And Father, we pray that we can surrender to you daily, Father. This is our worship. This is our desire. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the bulletin,